Our faith is seen and understood in many topics. We're glad you've tuned in today to Hey Hey, Anybody Listening?
Thank you.
I think this is going to air before everybody sees your first sermon. So
wow, yeah.
So we'll try to get you a little nervous about
it. I better
that.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Careful what I say.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have a intimate preconceived idea.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully I won't shatter it when I'm up there at the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you'll do all right. I mean, I hope people will remember that you have led a couple sermons already this year. So
yeah, I was here a couple times. No one threw tomatoes. I think we'll be okay. I think we'll make it.
Yeah, I mean, some people were a little concerned about your glasses, but that's all right.
Well, I have glasses.
Yeah. No, you had them on upside down.
Yeah. Well, I've got the right ones now. And actually, after the sermon was done, I found those upside down glasses again. And Sebastian, my son, as soon as they were in my hand, he was like, give me that. And he just starts walking around the block, like all over the place.
I know you were talking about some glasses that you didn't have with you there.
That's right. Thing. It was the upside down glasses. Yeah.
Well, I was curious to see those things. So.
I'll bring them in.
Good.
I'll bring them in. They'll probably be sitting in my office because he would frequently visit me at the church. At the last church I was at, and I always made sure to have stuff in my office that he could play with, so it'll probably be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, so it's a new congregation. You maybe tell a little bit about where you come from.
How far back do we go on this one?
Well, I guess since this is an introduction to the new pastor, I guess your pastoral history, you can always be a little more personal if you want, but...
All right. Well, I'll go quickly with, I was born in Arkansas and I was raised in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, well, we're used to the, Midwesterners, I guess.
That's what I hear. Yeah. I don't know if Texas would call themselves Midwest.
Yeah. They call themselves Texas.
We would, in Kansas, we would call it a long drive. To get anywhere down to Texas was a long drive. It is a long state, big state. So I was raised in Wichita. Got married in Wichita. We had our first three children in Wichita. And then I discerned a call to ministry. After a period of, a few months, I think, we came to an agreement that seminary was the next step. And so we knew we were going to move, and we moved to Pennsylvania to go to seminary at Lancaster Theological Seminary, because we have in-laws in town. So that gets us through the first 30 years.
Yeah.
So since then, I've served at Covenant United Methodist here in town as their children and young family, young adult kind of ministry intern for 3 years. And then I was sent to Beams in Willow Street as their pastor for 7 years, I think. And then down to Quarryville at Memorial United Methodist for 5 or 6 years. I can't remember. That's when I then moved the family to Lancaster City to live. So I stepped away from ministry there and did other things.
Well, Lancaster's happy to have you here.
We're happy to be back. It's a great place to live.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, at least not within 100 miles or so. More than that.
I've lived in a Kansas city. Yeah. I was talking to Sebastian the other day. I said you've lived in some different places. I've lived in I would call it a rural appointment. That was Beams, because we were right along. We lived in the parsonage right next to a farm.
Yeah.
And it was all farmland from there on. But it maybe could count as suburban. I think it was on the edge of a suburb and the farmland beyond. And then we served in a rural small town, and now we're back in a city. a small city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With some small city mission work here, it seems.
Lots of opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting that we're getting a new pastor, getting a new sort of function of the church. And, it's a lot of transition.
I can't believe the change you guys are going through.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it before, you know, we started recording this, but I can't believe the amount of change. I mean, doing a pastoral transition is change, and it's uncomfortable. And then there's appointments and there's or not appointments, opportunities. And then there's grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one of the things many people don't realize is it takes time, not just for the pastor to get to know the people and the people to get to know the pastor, but there's also the time of like the systems, learning the systems that are in place and the patterns, like who unlocks the door,
mm-hmm.
who relocks the door. You know, when it's icy, who makes the call mm-hmm. to close church or keep it up? Like those kinds of things, it takes months. To learn.
I just finally got together a compilation of hymnals that I don't have to go and type out all the time. And I know they're all going to change now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, pastors have their favorite hymnals to tell their stories. And
they do.
I suspect they're going to be a little different.
In my case, when it comes to hymnals, I defer. I tend to defer. So whoever is in charge of the music ministry of the church,
mm-hmm.
I usually just make sure with them it's okay, but hey, can you guys pick out the hymns?
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys pick out the musical choices? Because I don't want to impose on them mm-hmm. if they expect the pastor to.
Sure.
But they are the masters of music and the emotional impact of music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think pastors generally are not. That's generally not our skill set.
Yeah.
Some are.
Mm-hmm.
So your hymnody probably won't change much.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good.
The congregation's favorites are the congregation's favorites.
I have a library now that I don't
have time for them. Yeah, no. And there's probably quite a bit of overlap anyway with the ones I would know.
I mean, I did grow up in a Methodist church long ago, and they're not that different from them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Beams and Memorial both had fairly traditional services. What we would call traditional worship services that were mostly hymn-based. Memorial had more of the contemporary stuff kind of mixed in with it, but there was always hymns. There was organ. There was various instruments. That's kind of what I'm used to leading.
Mm-hmm.
So that piece probably won't change much.
I'm curious if there's something that you think that will be changing that people might want to be able
I think the first thing people will notice is personality difference.
Yeah.
Right. We're Jonette and I are two different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so like our speaking cadence is different. Mm-hmm. I've heard Jonette speak.
Yeah.
And she reminds me of just about every person I knew growing up who grew up in Texas. Mm-hmm. There's an intonation, a pattern, a facial expression, that I don't have. I grew up in Kansas, and I don't know, since 2008 have lived here. So I'll be different.
Mm-hmm.
She's female. I'm male. There's height differences. There's experience differences, stories mm-hmm. differences. But there's also going to be like interpersonal relational differences. My preaching style will be different.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the main change. Mm-hmm. I think people will see first. The church is the church regardless of the pastor. And although the pastor can and does have influence, especially over time, you'll see, and I guess that's the way it should be, a spiritual leader in the church, you know, points a way to certain things or advances certain styles of teaching or ideas, and so that has an effect on the congregation. But the congregation always remains the congregation. Like, those interpersonal mm-hmm. connections are so strong, and the patterns are so strong.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. I'm glad that I have learned that my impact on the congregation is far less than I used to think it would be.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've learned that, and I'm glad it's that way, because if I could have that much change upon a congregation, it would be so strange for everybody.
Yeah.
No, it's better. This is the church family, and I'm just stepping alongside, becoming a part of,
mm-hmm.
and together we're doing stuff.
Yeah.
And everybody's got their personalities.
with all the other changes going on too. With
all the other changes going yeah. on. Yeah. I like all of the changes that you guys are encountering. Mm-hmm. The pastoral change one would be the exception, because I know that's painful. Like I know that's painful. I've seen it in congregations that I've transitioned to and out of. I know that hurts. So that one there, I don't like that you're having to go through that. I do like the change that's happened at the general conference level. Mm-hmm. Even though that doesn't have a direct impact on Otterbein, because Otterbein has already stood firm with LGBTQ people. Mm-hmm. Like they're already on record for this. It what happened at the general conference doesn't have a direct impact on the local congregation as much as people would think.
Yeah.
But it does just free things.
Mm-hmm.
It clears the air. I think it affirms what you guys have been trying to do
mm-hmm.
for years, or have been doing for years. So I like that change. It takes a lot of the guesswork out of ministerial leadership. The change for the homeless shelter is wonderful, but it is a lot of change.
Yeah.
It's a physical, like we were talking about it earlier. It's going to affect parking a little bit. There's going to be construction materials. You know, we'll need to make sure that whichever contractor is chosen, we'll kind of have to stay on them a bit and say, hey, you put these sheets of plywood over here. You really need to keep it over here. You know, we'll have to stay on that.
Mm-hmm.
It will affect maybe the main entrance, some of the habits people are used to.
Yeah.
But boy, it's going to turn that space into something beautiful physically and missionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. I know for me, working at the Y and the potential that the Y is our partner here.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm just like, oh, it's kind of nice that everything's sort of so close.
Yeah. Yeah. And that takes a lot of the guesswork out of the professionalism of the group.
Mm-hmm.
YMCA has a long history of professionalism in the nonprofit world.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good partner.
Yeah. So something I wanted to ask you about... I heard this term, three-quarter pastor. Does that mean you're going to need like a riser or something so that you can get to the mic?
I don't think anybody wants me on a riser.
Yeah.
Height-wise. What it means is I'm a bivocational pastor by definition. So I have two sources of income and work. I'll have the ministerial work that I do here three-quarter time. And then I work for my wife in her business. We'll say quarter time, but I kind of think I'll probably have to put in a few more hours from time to time.
Yeah.
With that, it's not going to be an equal balance.
Yeah. No, now you're three quarter here and three quarter there.
No. I hope not. Cause that'll wear you down. That'll wear you down. It's more like
finally got my schedule to where three quarters in three places. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, it's like pastors were not from the beginning, but for a long time around the world, bivocational pastor is the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in, like, for example, the Mennonite community, the called pastor was usually, it wasn't a full-time paid position kind of thing. You know, they were a local farmer, blacksmith, someone that had a full-time job, a home, homestead to manage, or business abroad or whatever. And they would also meet the needs of the community. Spiritually as a leader on Sunday and visiting and doing funerals and weddings and that sort of thing. So it's very normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's very normal. It's pretty common.
Yeah.
The days of having the same job for 30 or 40 years, there's still people that do that, but the majority don't.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandfather, my maternal grandfather was an engineer for Boeing, and I'm pretty sure he got that 40 year watch or whatever. He'd been there all his career. That's fairly rare. It happens, but it's not nearly like it used to.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of pastoral ministry, the kind of work that's expected of pastors, full-time pastors especially, has shifted so much that we are almost full-time administrators. Full-time, you know, dealing with the organization of the church and the denomination, office work, email responses, community meetings that are held here, all that stuff, in addition to sermon prep and teaching and communion. So what you see is pastors getting more and more isolated in their offices and less outside of the building,
mm-hmm.
where the world is, where people's homes are and things like that. So I have to plan to do both. And I think it actually helps to not, that I don't kind of give into that temptation of, I'll just be in the church office, you know, 4 or 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way.
Well, I worry you're going to have your hands full a little bit as we make this all whole transition.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. If you need any help,
I'm going to need all the help I can get.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen without a lot of help. Yeah. I'm glad I've had a chance to meet the trustees.
Mm-hmm.
Jonette was kind enough to invite me, to attend a couple of trustee meetings to mm-hmm. kind of get figured out with this new homeless shelter. That's been tremendously helpful. Just to find out what people are already doing for the congregation and how they do it. And, cause people love to serve. They want to, they wouldn't be here if they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They want to serve, they want to help. And I want to find out and learn what it is they love to do and then kind of figure out, all right, where do I fit
mm-hmm.
in how I'm helping them, and also the things that I'm doing that they don't need to do because it's not their responsibility, it's mine. Yeah.
Well, is there anything specific you want to share as you're coming in to this beyond what we already just talked about?
Well, I've got the title for the first sermon.
Yeah.
I met with a couple of pastors, Bob Garvey. Y'all would probably know, and a couple of friends of mine, to do some sermon planning. I like to do that together. Not like they're planning my sermons, yeah. but we're pretty much just
a little brainstorm
in the same room. Yeah. yeah. And doing our own thing, but we check in. I got my first sermon title. It's the most important sermon I've ever preached. That's the title. The most important sermon I've ever preached. I think it's the right sermon for that Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So just so y'all know, that's the title. You'll find out on that Sunday. And I mean it. It's not some sleight of hand pastor thing.
Uh-huh.
It is the most important sermon I've ever preached. And I've got a bunch of the messages planned all the way through Christmas, except there's this kind of window of 5 weeks in August, like early. I just can't nail it down. Like, and uh-huh. I've tried and, you know, I'll come up with them and throw it in the trash and try again. So,
well, a little tip, make them short.
I like that.
And hot in here.
We'll see. I heard summers are a little warm.
Yeah.
I heard summers are a little warm. Yeah.
So,
and I was told.
Don't push yourself on those ones. All right.
I was told that I don't have to wear a robe over the summer.
Yeah.
Which is good because if it's warm, I'd really rather not.
Yeah. I don't know if Jonette took her fan, but you better check that out.
I've got my own fan if I need.
That's what I'm saying.
My dad's kind of industrial shop fan. He was a carpenter and he had a shop fan. And that thing, I'll bring it with me.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Chris, I know I'm looking forward to seeing how things develop.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to doing it.
When I heard Jonette was leaving, you came to mind right away and some kind of serendipity to see that you ended up in here. So,
Well, they are big shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
They are big shoes to fill. She has been here during an amazing period of time for you. And she was, from everyone I've talked to, just a beloved pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So the big shoes, do my best.
All right.
Yeah.
I know you're going to do well.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris, and see you on Sunday.
Let's do this again.
So glad you were with us today, and I hope you'll tune in again as we listen to one another.